Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah. Austin Film Festival was an amazing adventure for me. Yes But Why was invited to join the press corps, and I spent the better part of Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th doing interviews in and around the Driscoll Hotel in downtown Austin. Our final interview is with podcaster Marissa Tandon. An Austin Film Festival success story, Marissa entered a podcast script competition in 2017 and has since been producing and writing her own audio fiction podcast, Super Ordinary. Marissa is a great inspiration to me, as I have recently been very interested in writing an audio fiction podcast. She taught me a lot in this discussion. Listen in as we talk about developing new shows in her writer's room, casting from the LA comedy scene, and scratching the itch of creativity. Support Marissa by listening to her podcast, Super Ordinary, on TandonProductions.com.
I actually got into podcasting because of the Austin Film Festival. I'm a fun success story. They like to throw it away.
That's great.
So I started 2 years ago at the Austin Film Festival 2017. I had just graduated college and was like submitting. I went to school for screenwriting. So I was submitting to festivals and doing the whole round. And then that was the first year they did the fiction podcast script competition. So they had like a marketing email that went out that was like, you should also submit for the fiction podcast script. And I was like, what is a fiction podcast? I have never heard of that. And they're like, you know, it's like a scripted podcast that you do, you script it. And I was like, you mean like you want me to write down like an interview and then people will read it? And so then I did some research and understood kind of what it is. I adapted something I had already written, for audio and kind of tried to understand how audio storytelling works versus visual storytelling or novel storytelling, prose, I guess. And, I adapted my script and submitted it. And then I actually like moved forward in the competition. So I came here, 2 years ago and met a ton of people that were making huge shows and, it took me almost another year to like totally commit and go forward with doing my show. So I came back last year again for the feature scripts competition side of things and had my podcast out at that point. And now I am here as a panelist.
Wow. Yeah. Do they tout you the way you're saying? They're like, she's our success story. She really did it.
I don't know that they like are.
They didn't introduce you that way?
It's come up every time I've talked, of course. Because like the question is like, how do you get into podcasting? And then you're like, well,
yeah.
That's my story. So it's always, I mean, I think it's great. I love the festival because of that. I think I've seen my career change completely in 2 years just from what they're doing with audio. So
now do you think it's because they gave you great tips on your writing, or did you make connections, or both?
Both, for sure, both. Huh. The programming here is so helpful. The panels were so helpful. Of like, I think podcasting is a little bit different than filmmaking, right? Because filmmaking, you have to find people who want to fund your work, and like put it on the big screen or television or whatever. And podcasting is so much more on the indie side of things. Of like, no, you want to make it, so go out and make it. So a lot of the panels are a lot about like, this is how you actually go about doing that. This is how you write for audio. This is how you find a sound designer. This is how you do these things. So there was a lot of that. And then I also made a lot of great connections while I was here as well.
Oh, okay. Now you said you did both the podcast script contest and the feature writing contest. Are the like notes that they're giving you for the audio drama drastically different? Like,
No, they're still kind of about, you know, content and character and plot and those kinds of things. Like, this could be strengthened, this could be better, like, this is perfect, keep this
so, like, basic storytelling is still sort of the essence.
Exactly, storytelling's still storytelling, right?
Right.
It's just, there might be a note in a feature about, like, this was not visually interesting enough. You might have a script, like, a note in your audio that's like, this wouldn't translate in audio very well. But
Okay, yeah, there you go.
I think they're pretty similar. I think telling a story, you're still telling a story, right? So your notes are going to be about your storytelling ability.
Yeah. When you did the panel while you were here now, Do you find, like, do you learn a lot more when you get to teach the other people? You know, when people are asking you questions, you have to describe how to do X, Y, or Z.
Right.
Do you find, like, you're learning stuff?
Yeah, that's so interesting to put it that way. I think maybe I found a lot more answers of, like, things that we have learned along the way, because we've been going so fast for so long, that you're like, oh, it's always been this way. And then you're like, well, no, like, the first time we did it, it was a mess. And then you've learned. So, like, I think I've definitely been able to go back and say, like, these are the mistakes that we've made as I try to answer questions to move and say, like, this is where we've gotten to. But it's also one of those things where you're constantly like, it's not just because I do it this way doesn't mean it's the right way to do it, I think.
That's open of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think especially in a medium like this, like, it's always changing and it's not brand new. It's been around forever, but it's getting a new kind of life right now.
Yeah.
So, like, you can do whatever you want. Like, someone might come and figure out how to make interpretive, like, movement a podcast. I don't know how they would do it, but someone could, and my process wouldn't be great for that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be ASMR podcasts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they doing? Chewing popcorn?
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah, so that's, like, amazing. You're doing amazing. Yeah.
Not what I would do, but I'm glad you're doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So...
Well, the interesting thing I find that people say a lot about podcasting, because I've also gone to podcast festivals, is they'll say, make what you want to listen to.
Absolutely.
And so what are your, like, do you have favorite audio podcasts that you listen to that help inspire you, or even that are so different that they don't, but they got you into the idea?
I would say one of the shows that I listened to that helped kind of crystallize audio as a concept to me that made the most sense, and I think is like a great, what, kind of like gateway drug almost for audio.
Tell me that gateway
fiction.
Drug.
For audio fiction specifically, I think Deck the Halls with Matrimony. It's by Ashley Quach and Sasquatch Radio.
Deck the Halls what?
With Matrimony.
Matrimony.
It's a Christmas rom-com. And it's like it's like watching a movie, but there's no, like, narrator, there's no anything, and it really just plays like a movie. And I remember, like, I listened to it on an airplane and I was like crying at all the points you would cry in a rom-com, and like laughing out loud and all those things, and I was like, oh my god, like, I care so much about this, and I can't even see how hot these people are, like, they're just doing things, and like the writing is so good and the acting is so good, and so it's so easy, I think, because it's I think there are a lot of really cool things happening in the audio fiction space. But some shows take a little bit more to learn how to listen to audio, whereas this show was just like, I felt like I didn't have to learn anything. I just felt like I was consuming a piece of media.
Ah.
So I find I try to, like, emulate that same approach where it doesn't feel like there's any sort of learning curve on it in my work. Ashley's a really good friend of mine now, so it's been so fun. I'm like, do you like this, please? But yeah, I think that one's so good. And then I listen to mostly, like, before I started doing audio fiction, I listened to mostly, like, comedian podcasts. So
yeah.
It was so much about, like, feeling like you have two pals in the morning to take you to work, like, making you laugh. So I think,
like,
that
ones
was, like, big.
Where they're doing comedy in the podcast, because, like, they have improv ones where they, like, do improv.
Oh, there's
which
a,
I think is wild.
There's a great one called Mission to Zizix that does that. That's like improv, but then they sound design it after. So that's really cool. But no, I listened to more like
interviews.
Comedians, like interviewing comedians.
Yeah.
Like, those are my favorite things in the world.
Well, that's funny. That's what my podcast is.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd make
a
day.
So you like my thing. I love your thing. Tell me about your show and the journey to develop it, because you're talking about how it took you a while to kind of learn to get it right. Do you feel like you've gotten it? Where are you at? Tell me more about it.
I think any, like, writer or creator is always going to be like, we could always do better, right? Like, no one's ever happy with their
work. Sure.
So I think we definitely could continue getting better, and I hope we continue getting better every time we do something. But since we started, we have 3 seasons of Super Ordinary, which is our first show. Which is about a girl who finds out she has superpowers, but they're connected to her panic attacks, so she can't control them. So she's sort of the villain in her world. So that's been really cool. And the evolution of that show, I think we found a lot of different things about, like, how we wanted to play with perspective and how long our episodes were. We've moved from season one and season two were closer to 15 minutes, which made sense for that part of the story. Now season three is closer to 25 minutes per episode, which makes sense for what we're doing right now. And then we have another show called All in My Head, which I don't write, but we produce. And that was an exploration, I think, in sound design so much, because that's a horror show. So that was so much about, like, the visceral experience of being frightened. And in audio, that can be really, really intense, because it's coming out of your own imagination. And I think whatever you imagine is going to be scarier than what we would have put up on screen to some degree. And then we have a show called The Sword and the Stoner, which is just straight comedy. It's
King Arthur and Stoner?
King Arthur, exactly. There you go. You knew from the title. King Arthur is a stoner. And plays with that. So it's a modern day adaptation of that. And that's, you know, that was so much about, like, how do we do comedy and physical comedy and audio? So there's, I think everything's been, you know, it's been such a different experience all the way through. But yeah, I think we've learned a lot doing that. And we've been around for a little over a year now as a company.
What's the name of the company?
Tandon Productions.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is, you know.
And you say we. Tell me about your team. Like, how'd you find your team? I find that's the hardest part sometimes.
It is. I got really lucky. My dad is my business partner. So he is a brilliant, brilliant businessman. So he does a lot of the business side of things, and I get to do a lot of the kind of creative oversight of things and kind of deciding where we're going creatively on those kinds of things. And then my sister actually is also a writer, so she wrote All in My Head, and that's her show, so she runs that. We have new shows coming out that we have a writer's room on, so those are people that I met doing comedy or met coming up in college with, and we've had like a lot of really talented writers through that. Our actors are either people that have come through the LA comedy scene with me, because I do stand up and improv, or people that we found just on casting calls in LA, just backstage and LA casting and casting boards and things like that. So we've gotten really lucky with that, I think. And our sound design team, ironically, our sound designer now was one of our actors who came off of the casting call. And she was a musician and knew what she was doing and knew she wanted to, like, explore sound design. So now she's doing sound design with us.
That's cool.
Yeah, just, like, kind of, like, romantic, like, just, like, worked out exactly the way you want it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you do comedy in L.A.
I do.
Was it that sort of, like, storytelling that got you into the idea of creating this in the first place?
I went to school for screenwriting. So I was working in TV and development at the time. And I think what got me into looking in audio was when I came here, I met so many people that were just doing what they wanted to do. They were just making the story they wanted to make. And I had been working in development, and I knew I didn't want a career in development. And I had been kind of meeting with people and doing all these things and submitting to contests and, like, realizing that I was just waiting for someone to decide something I wrote was good enough to be out there. And then I met all these people that were like, I know what I did was good enough, so I'm going to make it and put it out there. And we live in 2019, like, the internet exists, so you can do that. And so I just kind of decided I didn't want to keep waiting for people to tell me I did something good enough to listen to. And I knew it was good, and people liked it, and so I did it. And now it's just such a different... I think it's really hard to imagine, like, not doing that anymore, I think.
Yeah, I find that people who have the drive to do their own thing are a certain breed. And right. Even more of the people that I've... The more people that I've interviewed, the idea that sort of the people that are here are the people who are determined to get it done.
Right.
The people who have put it together and made it happen, or at least submitted to something and put themselves out there.
For sure, yeah.
Like, even just that, like, that's such the first step. The fact that you were performing and submitting is, like, first step getting yourself out there. It wasn't like you were like, oh, I wrote this and it's on my laptop and no one's seen it. Like, you're putting yourself out there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And I think, I do think, like, doing improv and stand-up was so connected to the idea of, like, instant gratification, which podcasting is so much faster gratification than, like, submitting to festivals and waiting for someone to eventually make it. Like, stand-up and improv, you tell a joke and it worked or it didn't work. Like, you got your laugh or you didn't get your laugh. And podcasting, you put it out there, people either like it or they don't. But you get to hear those answers, pretty instantly.
Do you get a lot of reaction?
Yeah, we have a lot of like response on social media and on like our reviews and those kinds of things. So it's really cool. And then being here this year, a lot of people listen to the show, and a lot of people like come up and are like, "Oh, I really like XYZ about the show," and I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome!" Like, so yeah, no, it's cool because it's like it's everywhere. So people all over the world can listen to it and have a opinion whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, I love the international aspect of it. It's really wild. Yeah. The idea of how connected we can be to people just all across the country. It's, I mean, the world even.
Right, right.
Wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so awesome.
Agreed.
And all these people can be making different kinds of stuff. Like the fact that we could talk, I'm sure in your panel, there are people from many different countries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listening to you who will bring back to their home these ideas and do stuff. And it's like, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's two of my friends that I made here 2 years ago live in Europe, so like I never see them obviously and I but I get to talk to them all the time, and they're making an amazing show, and we are all kind of like doing it at the same time and doing the same thing and chatting, and that's such a just this type of industry where it's like right on the internet that you can have that experience.
Yeah it's so nice. So I did want to talk to you about audio dramas,
yeah,
because I'm like trying to figure out how do you get it started? What do you, should it be, should you like try to write it like it's a movie and then adjust it, or,
yeah,
you know, like, should you always be thinking about, I mean, I guess you should always be thinking about how it's only audio, but I don't know. What's your advice?
I think there's like a lot of different ways to approach it. Everyone's writing style and writing process is different, but I can talk about kind of how I do it.
Sure.
So for me, like I was trained as a screenwriter, so I'm so used to visual screenwriting and thinking about like, what does it mean if someone's room has this book on the shelf and those kinds of things. But you can't see that unless someone physically goes, "Oh, it's so interesting that you have War and Peace open and dog-eared on your bookshelf here. With coffee stains in the corner. You're such a messy and intellectual person." Like, you can't, which is not good writing, obviously.
Sounds like a great improv initiation.
Right. So interesting. So you have to kind of figure out how to, like, tell the same story and the same character things that you would tell without being able to see someone, right? So someone can't have really distinctive freckles, or they can, but I'm not going to know that unless you tell me verbally.
Yeah.
Or like, "I really hate my freckles today." Like, okay, great. So those things I think you have to like kind of pull away from, and those might be things you would lean on visually if you were trying to write something to tell a story. But I think it's still world building, right? And you're still trying to create characters and create the world that you're in. So I think you still need a lot of the similar things that you would need as a screenwriter. You still need an establishing shot, quote unquote. I know they can't see my air quotes, but I'm making them.
You said it.
You still need like an establishing shot, right? But the establishing shot is more about what the world sounds like. It's like enough of a moment where no one's talking, but we're walking through a forest, and I know we're walking through a forest because I can hear birds and I can hear fireflies or crickets, which means it's a different time of the day. I can hear grass and things crunching under these people's feet. So now I'm like, okay, we're definitely in a forest. I can hear rain, so it's raining, and I can hear the way the rain's hitting on the concrete, so we're in a city, and I can hear cars going by, so we're somewhere busy, and I can hear two people, and then they can start doing whatever they were doing. And I know exactly where we are, and I feel like I am there. So it's a lot of the same things that you would be thinking about. You're just thinking about them audio-wise as opposed to visually.
Yeah. Smart. I never even thought about that, but of course.
Yeah, right.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, I shouldn't get deep in my head about that. I'm like, yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm ready.
Let's write something. I'm ready to write. So you're working on your own show, and then you're supporting other people as they are writing theirs. You also mentioned a writer's room. Does that mean that you're developing new projects in the community?
Yeah, we do writer's rooms. So the two that we just finished running were shows that I wrote the pilot of and then brought two other writers on. And those two writers wrote episodes themselves. But we did a collaborative process where we came in and we broke the season together, and we talked a lot about character and where things were going. And we worked with writers who I tried to put together a team that had a kind of different balance of strengths and weaknesses. So on our newest show, which we're in casting for right now, currently, is a kind of rom-com reimagining of Hamlet. It's called His Royal Faken Highness. So it's like modern and playing around with what it would have been like if Ophelia had a chance to be a person, wholly so, and how that would have involved her, and how the story would have changed if that were the case. And so for that, it's a rom-com. So I brought on a writer who has just like such great skill in crafting really soft romantic moments and like making your breath catch. And I brought in someone who is so good at just crazy, crazy comedy. We've done improv together for years, and she's just so funny. And so when we broke the season, we kind of decided, okay, this episode is the really big romantic pivot point. So that goes to Alex. And this episode has the most ridiculous comedic framing. So that goes to Kelly. And I'll take what's left. But kind of playing to other people's strengths and building a kind of a stronger season, I think, out of the fact that there were different viewpoints and different strengths for those writers, and then coming together and kind of pitching better jokes or pitching small changes and things like that.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple times the people that you're working with, and it sounds like you're working with a lot of women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it mostly women?
Yeah, I guess so. Now that I think about it, on our creative side of things, we have a female sound designer that we're working with. All of our writers on shows that have been announced are women. And I think all of our shows are run by women, all female showrunners.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's really great. And I also think it's interesting that you like didn't notice. Like you're like, oh, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, they're the best people for the job. It wasn't like, I mean, I think everyone should pay attention to who they're hiring and why they're hiring them. But they're just the best people who applied. And mm-hmm. So it turned out that those were the best.
Sure.
That women just happen to be the best people. You know?
Well, also, I'm always very interested in, like, how people connect with their community because, you know, I've done a lot of sketch comedy and improv, and, you know, I've had some ups and downs when it came to, like, people committing to being part of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I can understand, like, but how did you get such a good group of people that, like, are you just lucky, or is it like people that you knew for a while?
Well, we've definitely had people that we've worked with and don't work with us anymore, that were good fits at the time, ended up not being, you know what I mean? I think that's inherent in anything that you're doing, or someone gets a better job, or someone moves across the country, or someone does anything, you know what I mean? So those are definitely, especially doing things like the arts, like everyone's kind of doing it part-time and really cares about it, but doesn't necessarily have the ability to dedicate their whole life to that. You know, you gotta pay rent. But yeah, I think some people were total strangers and ended up being perfect fits on, especially on our actors side. We've had some amazing actors that have just, I would have never met if we hadn't put out a casting call. On The Sword and the Stoner, we have this actor, Sam, and he plays Merlin. And he is absolutely incredible. And we just got him through Backstage. Like, we posted a casting call and he submitted. And our lead of All in My Head was also someone that we had never met before. She's incredible. Mia Passarella, she's so, so good. So yeah, some people are totally just random people. And some people are people that I have known forever, but I have like a big rule about working with friends, which is that you have to go through the same application process as everyone else.
Nice.
So if you happened to be the best person that submitted, that's great, and that's, you'll get the job. Like, but I don't like to kind of just not see who else is out there and not give someone else an opportunity just because we're pals. And you want to make the best thing you can make. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, so final question to wrap up our chat.
Sure.
These are a little shorties.
Yeah.
Tell me if you could give advice to somebody who, and I guess you probably did, but if you have any other advice for like writers that are out there that are listening, not the people who came to the festival, but you know, how do they get started and what should be their first move for getting, you know, their audio drama
getting
going?
Well, I would say find the thing that you can't stop thinking about. Super Ordinary was our first show that we did, and I wrote the pilot of that, actually I guess the first version of that way before I was even looking at audio drama, I wrote in college. And then it just kept like pushing. I knew I like really wanted to work with it. And eventually like we finally got there. And even after I came to Austin, it still took me like 8 months to be like, okay, yeah, I really, really want to do this. I can't stop thinking about this as a concept. And I think it's really important that people have that kind of attachment to what you're getting ready to work on, especially for your first show, because podcasting is like running a business. Like, you know that you're doing the same thing. It is like going to take over your life. So if it's something you're not, even if you're not fully, deeply, deeply passionate about it and like it keeps you up at night, then you're going to eventually burn out and be upset and not finish or not have the best thing that you can have. You have to find that thing that like you will drive you crazy if you don't make it.
Yeah. I actually really like personally when I get to connect with people.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the last couple of years, I had a baby a couple years ago. Okay. So there was a lot of me being home at night when I was not used to being home at night.
Oh, babies need attention,
night.
I guess.
Yeah, and you can't just leave them alone.
No?
No,
and they seem like they should be self-sufficient.
You'd think so. Like, he's asleep. What's the problem?
I don't understand.
But no, you can't leave him.
Right.
So I couldn't go do all my improv and sketch stuff like I used to be able to.
Right, of course.
But I arranged it so that in the evenings after he goes to bed, I do interviews and I talk to people who do this kind of stuff. So I can stay connected to like what's happening in the world and hear all sorts of adventures without having to leave my home.
That's actually awesome. I
yeah,
love that.
But then there's things like this with Austin Film Festival, which are great because then I get to meet people and talk to people in the flesh, leave my house.
Crazy.
Guys, I'm so excited.
The sun.
I'm out of the house. Yeah. What? We're not talking on the phone right now? Like, but yeah. It's such a fun thing to do. Do you write? You get your writer's room to put it together. Do you? How do you do the recording of it? Do you have like a studio? Do you do it all at once, like a play?
So we have a studio. We do like we try as long, if we can, which most of the time we can, which is great. We do table reads, so the whole cast gets together and gets to hear the whole season out loud, which is great and fun. And then we rehearse, and then we record our. Which again, I always say like. Not everyone does it this way. You don't have to do it this way. Do what's best for you and like what's most convenient. But we use everyone who is in person and in LA, and then we record in a studio. And we record out of order. So we usually record a whole season in like 3 days.
Wow.
So
how long does that take?
Like roughly like 6 hour days.
Wow.
Yeah. It depends on the show. Like every show is a little bit different. Every script's a little bit different. Comedy is always a little bit faster because it's faster paced because it's comedy.
So interesting that you have it like finished, like that you have it like full season written before you even. It's funny because I guess in my mind I'm thinking like television, where like they're writing every week and it's coming out and they're adjusting and.
Well, I would say like. Again, like not everyone does it that way and not everyone has to. For me personally, it makes me so much less stressed.
Yeah.
Because you're also involved in post-production. You're committing to a release schedule that's required for you. Like I said, it's like running a small business. So you're running, wearing so many hats that if you're still writing and like moving around, it's so much easier to like have everything written first, then bring the actors on and do your changes that you might want to make as those actors get their voices behind them. Then rehearse it, then record it, and be able to like close the door on each thing as you go through before you move to the next phase.
Yeah. I like your method. I think that would be much less stressful.
Fingers crossed. I hope so. Yeah.
Well, because that way it's like you're done when you're done, and then either you can release it when you want.
Right.
But if there's like little things, you can adjust them or you can spend time, you know, you can release it whenever you want.
Yeah.
So there's no true deadline.
Yeah. And also I think also from like for me from a storytelling perspective, if I get sometimes I get to the 7th or 8th episode and something I want to do here means I have to change something in the first episode to match. So if we've already recorded that episode, then it's a lot more tedious to find the actors to come back in and then change it and then edit it and then make sure we haven't released anything about that part that we're changing and all that. So for me as a storyteller, like I find it easier to make to have hit the ending so that if anything I want to change would be more so that an actor came in and has this really amazing voice and I want to adjust certain things like that, or I want to add something because this actor was small in the script, but came in and was perfect, and we just want to, like, you're inspired to write more. Those changes are, of course, like, a lot easier to make if you've already written the whole thing out.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me and sharing information about your podcast and all the hard work that you do. Like, that's really great. And you're producing other people's podcasts. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think this is awesome, too. So I'm so excited.
Yay, hooray.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.